This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom at the Wall Street Journal. Coming up, Apple is sorry you were offended, and it's kind of apology. Dissecting Apple's rare, in more ways than one, I'm sorry for its handling of performance issue concerns with older iPhone batteries. But first, tech headlines. Tesla said last November that it hopes to achieve a production rate of 5,000 cars a week by late in the first quarter of 2018, after previously predicting it would hit that milestone in 2017. The Journal says the new year will present Tesla's greatest operational challenge, how to produce hundreds of thousands of mass-market sedans at a profit. So far, the investors have forgiven Tesla for its production problems. Shares were up 47% in 2017, and Tesla's market value of $53 billion rivals that of Ford and General Motors. And according to WSJ's CIO Journal, The Atlantic says we may soon be using the word monopsony. That's where there is only one buyer of goods, and that's the kind of power exercised by Amazon. Other 2018 tech trends: more autonomous vehicles, more cameras, even in devices without screens, and a new appreciation for gatekeepers to keep the profusion of content real and fake at bay. Coming up, what we've learned from Apple's iPhone battery damage control incident. This is the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. So, in the wake of a wave of consumer complaints, Apple issued a rare apology for its handling of concerns about performance issues in iPhones with older batteries. Quote, "We know that some of you feel Apple has let you down. We apologize." Apple had that to say in a note posted to its website late last week. What now, and if nothing else, what we've learned about the iPhone battery that we may have not known before. Let's get more from Robert McMillan, calling in from San Francisco. Welcome back, Bob.
Hey, Tanya.
So, a lot of folks are having an interesting time processing Apple's apology, whether it's the fact that Apple is doing it at all or the apology itself. This is a different scenario for the company. What do we make of it?
Well, they are apologizing for the fact that people misunderstood what was going on. They're not really saying that they did anything wrong, really.
It's That's an important sort of, distinction, right?
Right. Apple really doesn't apologize very often, and this apology was more a look at we kind of didn't communicate that well, and we apologize if you feel let down by us. Question really dates back to January of this year. In January, Apple released an update. That update basically throttled the performance of some versions of the iPhone. iPhones with older batteries in them were intentionally slowed down in order to prevent them from just totally crashing the iPhone under certain circumstances. As the battery ages, the phone makes these demands, you know, of the battery, and it's just very difficult. It's sort of like a choreographed ballet, you know, and to keep everything working,
right.
Apple felt the need to kind of reduce the performance on older iPhones so that they wouldn't suddenly just shut down under certain conditions. Now, that's a very well-intentioned and probably a very smart thing for them to do. The problem was people didn't know about this software, and throughout the year, especially there was a iOS 11 release in September, and people started complaining. They were saying, like, wow, it really looks like the performance of my phone is not what it was.
Right.
And Apple at that time didn't really say, well, you know, maybe it's because of this new software we put in back in January. They just sort of didn't really properly respond to the questions that people had.
I mean, this was eye-opening in a couple of ways. It also brought up the important issue of battery and battery replacement costs and how it relates to how long we hold on to our devices.
Yeah, I mean, I have never opened an iPhone, and I think I'm like most people. You know, I've opened Android phones. I've opened my personal computer. I know where the battery is in an Android phone, but I've never even seen the inside of an iPhone that I own. And
right.
That's by design. Apple builds these devices to be very easy to use and to almost work magically. The fact of the matter is, if you could kind of pop them open and you could replace those batteries, they would work a lot better, especially as they age. Now, I think what's happening is this design principle, this idea that you can just have a device that is, you know, sort of just magically operating and you have to get under the hoods with it, is coming at odds with the fact that there are a lot of people who are pretty satisfied with, you know, relatively old versions of the iPhone, iPhone 6s, for example, or 6s.
Right.
You know, they do pretty much everything that you want, and for some people, even like for me, I like the fact that I have a 6S and I can plug in a, you know, a headset to it. I don't need to get Apple's special wireless headsets or anything like that. I can plug in just a regular old headset to my iPhone. So the you know, what people that I've spoken with about this have been telling me the last few days is Apple has become, the product has become very broadly popular. And there are all kinds of people that use it nowadays. It's not just the people that rush out to buy the latest iPhone every time it comes out. It's also more conservative buyers who are just happy to stay with their phones for 3 or 4 years. And for those people, learning that you can get a lot more life out of your phone just by replacing the battery, that came as a surprise. And that was really the problem that Apple had.
Right. Having said that, did not being upfront prove to be a rare miscalculation on Apple's part? It's under the microscope right now, but stepping back, is this going to be much of a setback? What do you think?
With other problems that they've had, Apple has, you know, with the AntennaGate problem in, I think it was around 2010, Apple was making phones that, you know, if you held them a certain way, they didn't work as well as they could have, and they brought in reporters, and they issued, you know, a band that you could put around the phone that would make it work better, and it was really embarrassing for them. In this instance, the technology that they're talking about, would that, you know, I think people agree that it's a good idea to prevent your phone from suddenly, like, you know, going black all the time while you're using it. So it was good technology. It was just sort of poorly communicated. And I don't think that, you know, it's a black mark for them. And Apple really thrives on being perceived as just the best of the best and having this kind of unassailable brand that, you know, people have nothing but good associations with. So anytime that they have to kind of publicly apologize and that's called into question, it's definitely not a good thing for them. But it's not, this isn't like a mess up of, you know, gigantic proportions. This isn't, you know, these aren't batteries catching fire spontaneously. This,
well, that's true.
You know, software that's, you know, trying to make them last longer that we didn't know about, which is a much, much more minor problem in my opinion.
Puts it in perspective right there. Bob, thanks as always.
Hey, my pleasure, Tanya.
For more on Robert McMillan's coverage, you could head to WSJ.com. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom at the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.